We've all gotten the sense at one point in our lives or another that we're living through history. And that's certainly the case right now as we're watching our lives change so much as we all work to curb the spread of the coronavirus. But who writes that history? Who decides what's included in it? Our next guest wants you to know it's you. Mark Thibeau is a professor in history at ASU, and he's leading an effort to create a public history of the pandemic as it plays out. It's called A Journal of the Plague Year, an Archive of COVID-19, a play on Daniel Defoe's novel of the same name, which documents the bubonic plague in London in 1665. Thibeau and other historians and artists and students are gathering submissions for this living digital archive as we speak, and I spoke with him more about it.
Most people think about archives as something that happened naturally, like they're a given. What they don't recognize, our students and the general public, is that they're socially constructed. People make them. So we thought by putting it together, we'd give our students a space to both confront the moment, but also to think critically about the archive, to think about how future historians might read the present, and in so doing, become better historians. But the minute you create a crowdsourced archive like this, you allow communities outside of your own community to engage. And that's how we imagined it. We put the word out to public historians and archivists and artists nationally, and folks flocked to work with us. They asked us, can we help curate the archive? And we said, sure. And so we now probably have 100 curators working together in 50 or 60 teams globally in Australia, Canada, in 25 states across the United States.
Wow. So what kinds of submissions have you received from who? I mean, this isn't just news, right? This is much more organic than that, it sounds like.
Absolutely more organic than news, right? Because there will be news archives in the future. So what we're asking people to do is to take a personal perspective, to share how they're experiencing the moment, because it's this social history. It's the everyday life, the mundane, the remarkable that is often lost in archives. And so we're building that space. So the typical contributions vary. Somebody will share, literally look into their phone and share a moment about how they're feeling. A woman named Mimi Premo sent us this from Las Vegas, a clip titled It's Unsettling, where she just reflected on how the moment was making her feel.
No matter how many Skype meetings I have, no matter how much I'm on Facebook, no matter how much I write in my journal and try to laugh through the tears, it feels so different.
Wow. And this is photos, pictures, funny stuff, memes, right? Like there's a real social media aspect of this in a way.
Well, the memes are especially important because when we go back and look at the formal archives of journals from the 1918 flu epidemic, we don't get people sharing that kind of gallows humor that's out there, right? That's not what people do in their journal. They don't tell a joke. But memes are that joke. They're that way in which we experience the present. So we have lots of folks sharing memes.
I mean, in terms of documenting history in real time like this, like who is this for? Are you looking for this to be for future generations? Like this is an archive that historians in 100 years can go back and look at, like historians today look at the 1918 flu epidemic archives?
That's a really tough question to answer. It really has multiple audiences. The first being the moment. The hardest thing to do with the archive is getting people to realize that their stories are important, that the mundane is important, that what they share with us is the stuff of history. Most people think that my small observation doesn't necessarily have any value. But the archive really argues quite the opposite, that your observations, your experiences have an extraordinary value, especially when they're put in the context of 1,800 or 10,000 people who are making similar kinds of contributions. Presently, we have like 2,000 items in the collection. So everybody's contributions are building in context. So even in the present, it's about empowering people to be part of the future, part of the present and part of the future. In the future, historians will use it. I expect even in 2 or 3 years, historians will start and social scientists will start returning to the archive to find the ways in which people were experiencing this moment. And they'll continue to do that.
Yeah. So when this is over, what do you think we will know about this moment that we wouldn't know otherwise? What are your hopes for this?
That's a really good question. I think one of the things we know about archives is that they almost always contain silences. Those silences are brought on by the process itself. People must save their stories to begin with, then they must donate them to somebody. Typically, we see collecting happening for communities that are wealthier, possess more social or political power. So we've very self-consciously from the start asked people to help us curate the silences that we know might exist. The stories of Native Americans, Hispanic Americans, the stories of older Americans who may not be digitally savvy in this current age. And we've asked, how do we collect those stories? So in the moment, it's about changing the nature of the archive. In the future, I hope people learn, I think some of the things we're collecting photographically about landscape are quite revealing. People will take pictures of signs they see. Scottsdale in the McDowell Sonoran Preserve's Gateway Trail actually painted 6-foot squares at the trailhead to alert people how to move through it, right? All of which can be removed later. Well, that photo will document this and show us how the landscape changed for this year or two, and it'll return to normal and it'll be as if nothing ever happened. And maybe they'll change permanently, right? Maybe the plexiglass at the checkout counter at the grocery store will become a permanent part of the landscape separating us from the cashier, or maybe not. The power of this is in reflecting how everyday social life changes and was experienced. The politics, the economic consequences, there'll be plenty to document that, but we won't necessarily know how people experienced those things individually.
Yeah. All right. That is Mark Thibault, professor of history at ASU, who's leading this project. Mark, thank you so much for taking the time to come on the show and tell us about this.
Thank you very much.